Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, it's 10 o'clock in the great city of Chicago. I hope you're socially distanced. I hope you're at home. And if you've got a smart speaker, just say, hey, Alexa, play ESPN Chicago. Hey, Google, play ESPN Chicago. So appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling, dialing in. We're going to talk to Mel Kiper in just a moment and get his thoughts on this upcoming NFL draft. And the Bears don't pick till 43 and 50. Does he think there's a chance they trade up? Is there enough talent they could trade down and assemble more picks? And is there somebody on the offensive line that makes sense at the start, pick 43, at the start of the Bears draft? Is there an offensive lineman that could be a plug-and-play type guy that could be a starter for the Bears from day one, much like a Cody Whitehair has been, who's become a very good player for the Bears? So we'll get to that with Mel when he joins us here in mere moments. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's go to Nick in Gurnee. Hey, Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, Cappy, how you doing?
I'm good, kid. How you doing?
Pretty good. So the one thing I want to hear, especially from Nagy, is like at his end of the season presser, he wanted to go back on the season and reflect. And I remember listening in on some of his pressers post game, and he said, I didn't like that run call, or I liked the run call, but I didn't like the run play I called. And now that he's had a whole off season to kind of like dissect himself, I want to know what he learned about, like, himself and his play calling and what he learned about his team. Will I think Whitehair and Daniels should stay at center, Whitehair at center. Like, that flip, I think, screwed him up. Would he have made that earlier now looking at all the tape? Or what his thoughts were on his offseason?
All right. So we need to hear – I want to hear a whole bunch about a whole lot, but I do want to hear – something like what did he in his self-reflection, and I appreciate the call, Nick. Stay safe and healthy, kid. Have a good weekend. What did his self-reflection in the offseason tell him? That's what I really want to know. What did your self-reflection in the offseason, Matt, teach you that you think you will be better as the head coach of the Chicago Bears in 2020? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So Kiper and Todd McShay, they are the two best at mock drafts by far. They have number five, the Miami Dolphins, taking Tua Tagovailoa. And I know Mel really likes him, but I'm curious what he would say to what Mike Tannenbaum told us yesterday. And Mel joins us now. Mel, thank you for taking time. First and foremost, how are you? How is your family as we go through this new normal right now?
Hanging in is all you can do right now. You know, just deal with whatever you're dealing with and just hope that it goes away, I guess is the only thing I can say for what we've been dealing with for a while now. But everybody's got something. You have seasonal allergies, and then you got the flu still going on and everything with the virus. So it makes it very complicated and very tricky to try to figure out what you have and what you don't have. So I just hope everybody stays safe and gets through this as the best you can.
So the Chicago Bears don't have a first-round pick as part of the Khalil Mack deal. They'll get it back next year. But they have some holes still. They've got to get another starting quality offensive lineman. They need a cornerback. And they probably need a playmaking-type receiver, whether that's tight end or wide receiver. Will there be something sitting there at 43 on the offensive line that you look and go, that guy could be there, and he plugs and plays from day one?
They could possibly see an Ezra Cleveland from Boise State, who I really like. I mean, he's an athletic kid. Really came on, was consistent, and I like the steady improvement that he showed at Boise as a left tackle. Isaiah Wilson, right tackle out of Georgia, could possibly be around at that point. But I think if you look at the receiver position, that's where you're going to get the great depth. And that's where, remember, Terry McLaurin last year goes in the third round, turns out to be a heck of a pick. The guy I really believe could be this year's Terry McLaurin is Antonio Gibson, a kid out of Memphis who came from the JUCO ranks where he had done it all as a return man, running the ball, catching the ball. It was the same in high school as an outstanding track star, and then ran 4.39 at the combine. So I think he would be a guy if he's there, say, third round. But even in the second round, I think there's going to be some strong considerations for some wide receivers. I mean, LaVisca Chenault Jr. from Colorado may still be there as a chance. Michael Pittman Jr. from USC could. So it's going to be because of 30 wide receivers with NFL starting grade. That's pretty amazing that you got 30 guys at the wide receiver position that could end up being major contributors in the NFL. We haven't seen that in a long, long time, and I don't know if we've ever seen it.
They need to add offensive playmakers. Would you agree with that?
No question. I agree with the need areas you just suggested. There's no question. There's a lot of teams that are going to need help at that spot. Obviously, you think about with Green Bay and the Jets helping out Darnold and the Raiders and the 49ers. The Broncos have nobody opposite right now. Cortland Sutton of consequence, and they didn't do anything in free agency to address that. So you got to believe Denver, like I said, the 49ers, the Raiders, the Jets are all going to be looking receiver. Philadelphia, Minnesota, Indianapolis needs not only one but two. So there's going to be a lot of teams in the market to take advantage of this great depth at the wide receiver position.
When you look at the top of the draft, Joe Burrow is probably going number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. He makes sense on so many levels. Great player, plus an Ohio kid. But we had Mike Tannenbaum on yesterday, and Mike said he thinks it would be irresponsible of any team to take Tua in the top 10 because you can't get to know him enough in terms of the medicals and bringing him in your facility. He said you cannot take him in the top 10. Do you agree with that?
I would respectfully disagree with Mike, and we thought, you know, I think that would be the reason for me would be if you're Miami, say, at 5 or the Chargers at 6, and we can debate Miami. We don't even know if Miami loves Tua. There's speculation out there that they like Justin Herbert a lot, quarterback from Oregon. But say if you're Miami and you do like Tua, you can, I think, justify it by saying that if he didn't have the injury, he wouldn't be there at 5. We would have to trade up to 2 or 3 and give up some of those draft choices to get him. But because of the injury, he falls in our lap at 5, where he falls to the Chargers at 6, whoever it may be, or the Raiders at 12, which would be where Mike said he would start to consider a guy like Tua. So I think it gets down to that, whether if Miami likes Herbert better, they take him. And then does the Chargers at 6 take Jordan Love, who's their speculation they like him, or do they take Tua? So I think it still remains to be seen how teams are going to work this, because nobody knows. Nobody knows what these teams are thinking but themselves, and it's a dynamic we've never seen before. So I think it's going to be interesting. Tua, that's the reason why we're talking about Tua. Every segment I do is about Tua, because of that reason.
The top of the draft has four quarterbacks could go in the top 9 potentially, but what is the deepest single position in this draft?
Without question, wide receiver. To have 30 guys with NFL starting grades is pretty amazing. I believe in terms of this draft, I think the interior of the offensive line, you're going to find some guys at both that center guard spot that can play. I think you'll see some late-round pass rushers. The Ravens, particularly here in Baltimore, have gotten pass rushers late in the draft, which is like, that can't happen. Well, they have with Pernell McPhee and Matthew Judon and Zadarius Smith all went late in the draft. So they've been able to do that. I think there'll be some guys this year that drop a little later than maybe you think they should as pass rushers. And there is some depth in the defensive backfield. But overall, there's nothing that compares to what the wide receiver position is.
The Bears need a tight end. Now, they paid Jimmy Graham more money than a lot of people were comfortable with. But you also saw Eric Ebron, who'd been injured. He got paid similar money. We saw similar money to Greg Olsen. Is there a tight end that could be there at 43, like Cole Kmet or Adam Trautman? Is there a guy that you look at and go, in Matt Nagy's offense, as a pass-catching threat, he makes sense there?
Yeah, I think those guys do. I've always liked Trautman. He didn't test great, but I think he's more of a fourth-round guy. Cole Kmet would make sense, definitely. I like him. He came back from the injury this year, and after missing the first couple games, had that great game against Georgia. He can block. He presents a big target. He's got that ability to give you a better catch radius than some of the other guys do. Another guy I like, too, is Harrison Bryant from Florida Atlantic. He didn't test great, but he's a kid who had, I thought, a really good career. He's a willing blocker, and he's an excellent receiver. He's got a real feel for getting open, really good hands, adjust to the poorly thrown ball very well. I think he's an underrated guy, Harrison Bryant from Florida Atlantic. And another guy I think if you get him late would be Dalton Keene from Virginia Tech, like some of the game tape I evaluated at him. So there are some tight ends. Albert O from Missouri, Okwabunam is an interesting guy. Tests great, but was an underachiever at Missouri. Do you roll the dice on him and say the third round? Hunter Bryant from Washington has talent. But the guy I really like in that second round, as you said, would be Cole Kmet. He would be the only one I would consider in round 2, and I would look at Harrison Bryant or Adam Trautman in that third, fourth round range.
Mel Kiper Jr., our guest here on ESPN 1000, as the draft is right around the corner, and it's going to be very different for these teams that maybe can't get in their facility. The Saints said they're going to work out of a brewery that the Benson family owns. The Bears haven't really said exactly how they're going to set it all up. We probably will learn a little bit later when Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy meet the media today on a teleconference. But there also are going to be, from what I'm reading, Mel, tell me if I'm wrong, teams will be less willing to take a chance on a small college guy because they haven't had him in their building and gotten to know him, and they'll look and go, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, I'll take those guys.
Possibly, and I think it's also what it's really going to hurt, too, are the guys who were not at the combine. If you're not at the combine and you didn't have a pro day, it's going to really hurt those players, those 25 guys that you would really target in the later rounds, some even as early as, remember, Bayard from Middle Tennessee State didn't go until, like, the fourth round, and he was a great player at the schools you look at, which was Middle Tennessee State, which isn't a power, but it's a school that plays pretty good competition, and he still dropped, even though he had a heck of a career. We've seen second-round picks not be at the combine yet, still go second round. Remember Spencer, the cornerback, out of Pitt to the 49ers, being one of those. So it's happened, but this year it may not. And I think those guys that were the non-combine guys that normally would get looks in that third to seventh round may not now. May have to come in as priority free agents. So I think your point's well taken about some of the small college kids. I think if you have good tape on them and they were at an all-star game and you have good connections with the coaching staff at those schools, I don't think that should be. Remember, the best drafts in the history of the NFL were 1971 and 1974, when the Steelers got four Hall of Famers in 71 and that great draft of 74, and several of those guys were from smaller programs. Dwight White, Frank Lewis, Ernie Holmes were not from major college programs, so they went to the small college route and got players when you were not having rechecks and all this timing over and over and this and that leading up to the draft. It was a quicker draft, it was early, it was 17 rounds, and teams didn't have the information they have now, and the best drafts in the history of the NFL were in those 2 years and in 86 with the 49ers. So I think it's all overstated. Teams have told me, and I've talked to some guys in the personnel departments, they don't want to draft April 23rd. They would rather draft February 23rd. The ones that have the coaches heavily involved want to wait and get it as late as possible. But the teams that are well-stocked in terms of scouting department and scouts and are ready to go, like I say, they're ready to go middle of February, or say right after the combine, just say early March. They would be ready to go right after the combine.
All right, last two things for you. The Bears need a power-type back to complement David Montgomery. They said we got away from being able to have a bruising guy who can also make plays in the passing game. Does a guy like J.K. Dobbins make sense for the Bears, or it's far too high to take him?
It's not too high. It's just that can you find a running back like A.J. Dillon, who's a kid out of Boston? Would you rather have an A.J. Dillon out of Boston College in the fourth round as opposed to a J.K. Dobbins in the second and use that pick on a receiver or a corner or an offensive lineman? So that's the debate. Remember when the Colts took the offensive lineman Nelson and waited to get Darius Leonard? Yep. Roquan Smith was in that discussion heavily as well. But if we can get so if you can see a running back like that, and I'll mention an A.J. Dillon from B.C. Is a guy that would fill that bill and then have a type of role you're talking about, then you have to debate that. But no, J.K. Dobbins is going to go, I think, second round, something Kansas City late first. But I think Dobbins, because of lack of great ball security, and he's not a tremendous receiver out of the backfield, even though he's better than people give him credit for, but he's a phenomenal runner. And if this were 1985, he'd be a top 15 pick in the first round. But because he's not as complete as DeAndre Swift from Georgia, he'll be the second back taken. But it would be a pick I couldn't argue with, but they may have better options at some other positions and then wait on their big running back.
Last one, your scouting report on Jordan Love. We've heard the Packers might want to try and move up to get him and let him sit behind Aaron for a little bit. What do you think of him?
Well, I think he's the kind of guy that would need to sit, and he can spin it. I mean, his arm talent is elite. I can't excuse away everything he did this year as just not having talent around him, because two of the teams he struggled with were 6-18 combined. So I look at that and say the schedule last couple years, he didn't play anybody. Really, there was a top-level opponent and play really well in that game. So, but he can, like I say, he can throw it with the best of them. He's not Patrick Mahomes like some people kind of make him out to be. But, yeah, I wouldn't have have any problem if Green Bay moved up. I think the Raiders would have to look at him at 12. Todd McShay thinks he could go 6 to the Chargers. We'll see. That's going to be interesting because I think he'll be the fourth quarterback taken. Todd thinks he'll be the third quarterback taken. We have that Herbert Love bet going on, but Jordan Love, I think with the way he can throw the football and Green Bay needing the heir apparent, that would not surprise me at all.
Hey, man, thank you for taking time. Always love talking with you. You're awesome. By the way, what are you doing for a haircut?
Same as always. Nothing's going to change there. Kim handles that, and my cousin helps out as well. So now nothing's going to change. It's just going, gone is what I would say about the hair these days.
Mine's all gone. God bless you.
See you, buddy. Take care, pal.
See you. There you go. Mel Kiper Jr. We have big news from Hallis Hall. Stand by. Next.
This is Cap and Company.
Something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hold on a second, Danny. Before you do that, let me just pop the top on a nice cool LaCroix and give me some news, kid.
All right. Well, if this is what you wanted to hear, you got it. Met Nagy. Met the media today. It's still ongoing at Hallis Hall. We'll bring it to you as soon as we possibly can. To quote Met Nagy, quote, this open QB competition between Mitch and Nick. Number one, what we're trying to do is what's best for the Chicago Bears. Ryan and I have had talks with both Nick and Mitch. It's going to be very transparent, and it's going to be very honest. When I talk to Mitch, it speaks to who he is. He's a competitor, and he's embracing it, and he's ready to get back to work. Mitch is really embracing it. He's had an unbelievable personality throughout this. Nick has been great as well. He's a special person. He's been in this position before, and he's handled it great. It's going to be a process evaluated over time, and like Ryan Pace said, it's a collaboration. Ultimately, what it really comes down to is winning, scoring points, physical and mental toughness, and commanding leadership. So I reiterate, it is an open QB competition.
Love it. Love it.
And it's also to important to note, Danny said that those quotes are from Matt Nagy. Ryan Pace also committed that this is an open quarterback competition. Cap, before Danny read you the news, you cracked open a cold. What was that? Was that tea to sip on?
It was, no,
was that,
it
was that Kool-Aid? What was that you were sipping on?
Orange water LaCroix.
Because now that we have an open quarterback competition in Chicago, I would like to sip some tea because I think now that officially will end the Mitchell Trubisky run here in Chicago, because there's no chance he is beating Nick Foles in an open quarterback competition that is truthful and honest and actually trying to assess who the best player for the organization is for this season. Is that a cool sip of tea that you just took?
Sip of LaCroix. I said, orange, and it will be Mitchell Trubisky ducking under center whenever we open the season.
Ryan Pace was also asked about Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option, and he would not comment on it, leading most people to believe, obviously, they are not going to pick that up.
They shouldn't. They didn't on Kyle Fuller, and it worked in their favor.
I agree with Chris. If it's indeed an open competition, and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace said it is today, so I'm going to take them at their words, I think Nick Foles beats Mitch out. If this was Mitch's job, he would have won it already.
Yeah, and I think what's nice to hear as a Bears fan is finally it seems as if the coddling has now ended. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, the opportunity is there. If Trubisky can improve and run this offense to score points per Matt Nagy's request.
Or Rat Nagy.
I misspoke there, Cappy. So there it is. The point is, if your quarterback over there can score points, he can be the guy. Otherwise, this is an open competition, and now we are moving on. Because no longer can they sit and wait. That is exactly what we need to hear from them today.
Agreed.
So it's good. Good news. Now, hopefully, Nick Foles can play to the caliber that actually upgrades the offense enough to get this championship defense into the playoffs to give us a chance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. And if Mitch can't win the battle, then he'll be out of here in a year. That's more than fine. But I think he's going to show up ready to compete. I do believe that. So we'll see. 312-332-3776. So react, folks. What do you think? What do you think about the big news from Hallis Hall? We have an open quarterback competition.
A little more to add. Matt Nagy adds, on day one of whenever the team is able to practice, Mitchell Trubisky will be the first quarterback in the huddle. It will be an open competition, but Mitch will go first. See, already they're giving Mitch the advantage. They're dying for Mitch to win the job.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, he's the incumbent.
They're going to have equal reps. Equal reps.
That's fine. That's fine. And again, if he can't win the job, then play Nick Foles and start looking, as Chris said, for the next young quarterback. Period. Period. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So I'd love to know your thoughts. You heard our thoughts on it. We've got an open quarterback competition, and whenever we get back on the football field, they are going to be charting, filming, evaluating everything. And we'll see how this works out. Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky, meet Nick Foles. So looking forward to this. 312-332-3776. Also, I got a chance to interview Allen Robinson yesterday for TV. We're doing a whole thing, 10 questions with, so it'll come out in the next few days. But I did get to talk to him on and off the air about potential for an extension. He's very confident something will get done. He said, I understand it's a business. We got more important things right now, but yes, I want to be here. I want to retire a Bear, and I'm trying to get a long-term deal done. Could his deal look at all like Amari Cooper's deal? Well, this morning on GetUp, Rex Ryan was on GetUp, and the question was asked of him, what about the money paid to Amari Cooper, and would Rex take Tua Tagovailoa if he was still running a team as a head coach, if he was a GM? This is Rex Ryan on Greeny's show, GetUp.
Would you be willing to take Tua with the concerns that exist on him right now?
I look at it this way. I think this is the biggest gamble in the history of the NFL draft. And the reason I say that is you can't get your doctors, don't get their hands on him, all that kind of stuff. One thing we know, this young man is absolutely an amazing quarterback. He's got everything, all the intangibles, that leadership. When it's the brightest, he plays great. So to me, I just think the guy's an amazing prospect. However, those injuries, if you're going to just ignore the injuries, I don't care how he's working out right now. One thing I know about him, he's been hurt in college. Everybody knows about the three operations he's had. Really? Well, I've heard he's had five operations. So if that doesn't concern you, now look, I know a lot of people in the NFL, and I'm getting that information, you know, from them. So if he's had five surgeries, that's a major concern. And do you pass on him? Boy, I tell you what, if I only have one first-round pick, I think it's too risky. I think if I have multiple picks like the Dolphins do, they can probably take that gamble, and I think they will.
There you go. We'll get some audio from him as well on Amari Cooper and how that could relate to Allen Robinson. Let's go to the phones.
More interesting news, Cap, before you go to the phones.
Where's the little sound effect?
Well,
being sarcastic. I mean, it's news because it's coming from the Bears teleconference. Go ahead, Danny.
It's news, but it's not worth the sounder. I don't want to get you super excited. Matt Nagy says that while the Bears did not play a lot in their last previous preseasons, they will be playing this year.
How about that? Maybe he knows there's going to be no preseason, so he figured I'll throw them some meat, the media. But we're not going to have a preseason. Whatever. Tell them whatever. Interesting. Very interesting. 312-332-3776. Jackson on the Tri-State. Hey, Jackson, welcome to the show, Sparky.
Hey, what's up, Cap?
How you doing, man?
Good, man. I listen to the show all the time, and do you just, like, have to hold on to, like, the disagreement between Danny and Chris? Like, you know that Nick Foles is going to be the starter.
No,
and I feel like you know it in your heart.
No, Jackson, I actually don't know that.
Classic Cap, interrupting guests, hanging up on Fat Mike. Come on, man. You know you're wrong.
Jackson? I am entitled to my opinion, just like you're entitled to yours. Doesn't make you right. Doesn't make me wrong. And the two times they've handed the keys to Nick Foles on his own franchise, he hasn't done very well.
he got injured last year. You got to give him that. He won a Super Bowl.
Right, and they let him go. And he went to St. Louis. They paid him money. They let him go. They sent him to Jacksonville. He got injured. He came back, and he couldn't beat out Gardner Minshew. So all I'm telling you is this is not a slam dunk.
Would you rather have Gardner Minshew or Nick Foles?
I'd rather have Nick Foles because I'm not a huge Gardner Minshew guy. But Jacksonville's probably looking for their next guy, and he's just a placeholder. That's what people down there are saying.
Okay. All right, I feel you. Just try not to hold on to too many grudges with those two guys. I feel like they're right a lot, all right?
You know what? You do you, Jackson. I'll do me, kid. How about that?
You're the man, Cap.
You're the man. See you, buddy. 312-332-3776. Paul is in Lakeview. He's next. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hey, Sparkles. How's it going, Cap?
How you doing, Cookie?
Oh, not bad. Yeah, as you know, I am a recovering Bears fan, but I'm a true fan of the NFL where I follow 8 to 12 of their teams to get my football fix in. Yeah, there's so much pain with this quarterback position with the Bears that my trust level is so low that if Mitch does win the job, which I have no idea if it's like a fixed fight or whatever, you know, for him to win it in the first place or get a little bit of a...
First of all, you can't be a fixed fight because they've got 52 other guys that are going to make that team. The players know, and there is no chance that they are going to fix the fight and have 52 other guys look back and go, please, our offense is way better with that guy. No, it's going to be an open competition.
But with Mitch, you never know. With Ryan Pace, I mean, he's so happy he got, you know, when the Mitch drove from Cleveland or whatever in his grandma's car. But to make a long story short, my trust level in Mitch is so low that unless I hear about him driving the ball against a playoff-caliber team, I probably won't watch the opener. I will watch the opener with Nick Foles, but with Mitch, I'll have to wait and see. And I just wanted to share that. That's all.
You're the man. Have a good weekend. All right, kid?
Thank you.
See you, bud. 312-332-3776. Bears are having an open competition at quarterback. They just said it now. Pace and Nagy. Do you think Mitch can win the job? 312-332-3776. We're right back.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, Bears are having an open competition at quarterback. Do you think Mitchell Trubisky can win the job? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Love your thoughts. I think he can win it. I'm not saying he will win it. There is news out of Hallis Hall. So they finally spoke. Stacey Dales from NFL Network, who's a good friend of this show. I asked Nagy, if the season started tomorrow and Nick had to play tomorrow, could he play? Quote, Nick is at a point right now where he could because he understands the concepts, but not fully where he needs to be. Like riding a bike, but it's different languages. So there you have it. So we'll see. And Lamont Battle said, that last caller not going to watch the opener if Mitch starts? Yeah, right. That last caller is lying through his teeth. Yes, he is. 100%. Or he's not a true Bears fan. Do you think this will truly be an open competition, Danny? Are you taking them at their word?
You know me, I don't believe anything anybody says.
No, that's why I'm asking you.
I actually do believe them, and the reason that I do believe them is I think they are desperate to take advantage of how dominant this defense is. They know Mitch was the weak link. Obviously, there were other holes on the offense. We all know that, but let's be honest, Mitch was the weak link last year, and I think they realize that their window is open to win a Super Bowl, and the only way to do that is have a competent quarterback on the field. They got Nick Foles, who knows the offense, so I do believe they're going to let this play out and let the best man win and start under center on opening day.
Bears coach Matt Nagy just said as well that he sensed the competitive spirit from Mitchell Trubisky and believes Trubisky has already embraced the open competition with Nick Foles. There you go.
What's Mitch going to say, though? Like, when I read stuff like that, you know me, I'm the biggest skeptic in the world.
You are.
When you tell me things like, oh, Mitch is excited for the competition and he's eager for, what's he going to say? Is he going to cry to Matt and be like, oh, come on, man, I should be the starter? Like, that's what you say. Now, I'll see if he really is up for the competition if he brings his A game. That's all that matters. Maybe this will make the Bears all that much better because it will push both guys to compete to such a level that whoever starts is going to be better for it.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Chris, do you truly believe, as a season ticket holder, as a guy who your money is out there? I mean, I'm on my couch. I buy jerseys, all that. You actually spend your time, your hard-earned capital. Your wife has season tickets as well from through her family. Do you truly believe that they are going to give both guys equal opportunity and it's truly an open competition? Or do you think privately they're going, come on, I hope Mitch wins this or I hope Nick wins it?
No, Danny's right. They're desperate. So I agree that this is a competition. They said it. Otherwise, they would continue to protect Trubisky and coddle him like they have to this point. Sounds like they're not doing that anymore. It's refreshing.
I think they both realize jobs are on the line. Ryan Pace far more than Matt Nagy, but they're tied together on this. And I think they're at a point where, like I said, the defense is still dominant, the window's open to win, and our jobs are on the line. So forget about coddling Mitch. Forget about we invested in the future in Mitch. It's time to win now.
Yep.
It really is.
Agreed.
And Matt Nagy told them, hey, Nick knows the offense. It's a different language. He might not be able to play right now, but listen.
We don't start right now.
We don't start right now. That's right. And come time, and God willing, everything's worked out by the end of July when the Bears normally go to training camp, and this year it'll be in Lake Forest instead of down in Bourbonnais. They'll be ready to go. It'll be a true competition. The best man will win, which will be Nick Foles. Mark my words.
No, it's going to be Mitch.
You want to have a wager?
Yeah.
What do you want to bet? I bet you the season starts, if it's a true open competition, and let's hope this whole corona pandemic passes us and things begin as normal, just like the NFL anticipates.
I've got a great bet.
And they start off, I say that Nick Foles wins the competition. Now, if there's an injury, if either guy gets
off,
either guy gets hurt in training camp, Mitch sprains a finger, whatever the case may be, Nick Foles has a hamstring, and the other guy starts by default, the bet's off. But if it's a true competition, I take Nick Foles, you take Mitchell Trubisky. All right. Would you like to bet?
Okay, here's the bet. If Nick Foles starts opening day and it's the true competition, the whole deal, it's not one guy's out, you know, 3 weeks with a hamstring strain. If Mitch starts, you have to eat sandwiches.
I'm not.
Or I have to fast 72 hours if Nick Foles starts.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. Fasting 72 hours is extremely healthful.
Extremely hard.
It hard or not, it's extremely healthful. It's good for your body. If I eat two sandwiches, I'm going to have the reaction if I drink a bottle of whiskey. Like, I'll feel sick, and it won't be a healthful reaction. You fast 72 hours, you're getting benefits. That's a selfish, lopsided bet, and I'm extremely insulted, David Emmanuel Kaplan.
Oh, my God.
Come up with something better.
Give me a bet.
Well, let's think it over.
Black, what do you think? Come up with something.
He's busy. He's editing the audio.
I thought that would have been fun.
Yeah, but I'm not doing that.
How about you eat an entire chocolate cake?
No. How about, okay, I'll eat a chocolate cake, but if Nick Foles starts, you get my name tattooed on your forehead. Right. I mean, you want to go dumb bets. There you have one.
All right, so people want to help us out. We need a bet. Rick's on the north side. Hey, Rick.
Hey guys, I know the competition is going to be stiff, and that's fine. I'm a season ticket holder, but this Bears team, they have to get some depth on the offensive line, and they need it now. That will help, and their running game it just turned around. I know when Montgomery's a good back, I think he's solid, but I would like to see him get a speed back or another back somehow in the draft. I don't think Jonathan Taylor is going to fall to him. But that type of back is what they need. You can see what happened up in Green Bay when this guy, you know, Aaron Jones stepped in. This whole team, that team is just really on the brink of being a top-end team.
Yeah, because they need, I would like to see them have more of a power back. Now, Jonathan Taylor is a hell of a football player. He also has a propensity for fumbling is what I'm reading from the scouts. So I can't tell you that I've studied Jonathan Taylor tape. But if he's on the board, I'll be surprised if they use one of their 2 second-round picks on a running back. I will be very surprised. Like Mel said, there'll be someone there in the fourth round. They got to get a speed wide receiver, or if Cole Kmet is the guy that Mel thinks he is, and maybe he's a tight end they bring in, and your room then is Graham and Trey Burton and Cole Kmet, and everyone else is out of there. Maybe that's possible. A cornerback is something they desperately need as well. Rick, thanks, man. Stay healthy and safe. See you, kid. 312-332-3776. So, do you believe there will be an open competition? Do you believe Mitchell Trubisky can win said competition? Or do you think it's all the way Nick Foles? He's going to get a shot, and he is going to be the guy. And we're also going to talk to Jeff Dickerson as soon as he's done with his work on that teleconference. We also have Pace on signing Robert Quinn. I'll tell you what he had to say about the upgrade to the defense. It's all coming up next.
Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
It's 10:49 in the great city of Chicago. With Danny Zetterman, Chris Bleck, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So the Bears have an open competition at quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky has told Matt Nagy, I'm ready to compete. Nick Foles is here with a Super Bowl MVP on his resume, but has never really been able to grab the job and hold it as a starter for multiple teams. So that is going to be interesting to watch these two go at it. Ryan Pace on signing Robert Quinn. We took a position of strength on our defense. We made it even stronger and more dangerous. It is not a shot at Leonard Floyd. He was part of one of the best defenses in the National Football League. But Robert Quinn is not a knock on him. We're just doing what's best for our team. So, I like it. He moved on from a guy he liked a lot in Leonard Floyd because he felt this would make his football team better. Good job. That's what you're supposed to do as a GM. 312-332-3776. Jeff's in East Troy. Hey, Jeff, what's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap, how's it going?
I'm good, man. You staying safe and healthy?
Oh, yeah, in this lockdown. It's brutal, but we got to do what we got to do.
God bless.
All right, so you guys, for that competition, I think you guys should do the one-chip challenge. You know what that is?
You mean the hottest chip?
Yeah, the hot chip challenge.
Danny?
I'm fine with that. I don't know if that's a good bet for us because I've also eaten dinner with you. Both of us can eat extremely hot food. I don't think either of us are scared of a little spice.
Yeah, we're not. I have ghost pepper in my house. So, Jeff,
well,
thanks.
Well, the challenge is who falls and drinks the milk first? You guys think you guys could do the whole chip without drinking milk?
Probably.
Yeah, Danny and I could go pretty good at hot food. Appreciate
wow.
it, man. Appreciate it.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, appreciate it. 312-332-3776. Here is Ryan Pace just a little while ago signing free agents and the focus on the quarterback competition. This is the Bears GM.
In relation to free agency, we signed a number of guys. You know, understand the focus is on the quarterback position. It's been a focus for us. With the addition of Nick Foles, is exactly what we talked about from the start. We've increased competition at a critical position, and we talked to both players, and the way we view this is it's an open competition. And credit to both those guys for embracing it. We've also talked about this a lot, but it's the factor that I steadily lean on is the collaboration between our coaches and our scouts, the collaboration between Matt and I. And I think that's a strength for us right now more than ever.
So they obviously did a ton of homework on putting this whole thing together. And look, Mitch was Ryan's guy. There's no doubt about that. But Ryan also wants to keep being the GM of the Bears. So he has to have an open competition because he wants his football. He's more loyal to his football team than he is his quarterback. Here's his head coach. His comment on free agency and the quarterback competition, Matt Nagy.
The big one that we're well aware of that Ryan just talked about is this open QB competition between Mitch and Nick. And I think a couple things as we look through this, and I know you all have questions, but, number one, what we're trying to do is what's best for the Chicago Bears, plain and simple. That's what it comes down to. And so, like I was saying, Ryan and I have had great talks with both of them. What's important and what you all are going to find out in this process is going to be real simple. It's going to be very transparent and very honest. And so what I thought was really neat when we just talked to Mitch, which speaks to who he is you could feel how much of a competitor, and you know it and you see it. He's a competitor now, and he's embracing it and excited to get back to work. With that said, part of the conversation that we discussed too was understanding here the big picture. Is I know that Mitch gets a lot of this, but we could have been a lot better coaching schematically, and I could have been a better head coach. And then we all know, we can always be better players around him as well. So that's a focus there. But Mitch is really embracing it. He's had an unbelievable personality throughout it. He understands it. All he wants to do is be the best quarterback he can be for the Chicago Bears, and that's what he's going to do as we move on here. Nick, the same thing. I have a history with Nick. I know who he is as a person. He's been great as well. He's a special person, and Ryan and I looked into that, knowing that when this went down, and I think that's very important that we don't lose sight of that as we go through this competition. He's been in this position before, and he's handled it great. I personally went through it with him in Kansas City, a little different, but I know obviously who he is. It's going to be a process evaluated over time, and it, like Ryan said, it's a collaboration of Ryan, some of the guys on his staff, myself, and then along with Bill Lazor, Dave Ragone, John DiFilippo. And those guys all have extensive background with quarterbacks, and we're looking forward to that. We're not there yet. You guys will have questions, but we'll have a great plan on how to evaluate it. And then ultimately what it really comes down to is winning, scoring points, physical and mental toughness. And then obviously command and leadership with some other things. So with that, we'll leave it to questions.
There you go. So that's Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. Their thoughts on exactly what's going to go down on this quarterback competition. Nick Foles is going to speak at noon. There is a Robert Quinn teleconference as well today. So follow Carmen Yerk, Waddle, and Sylvie, and they will be all over it. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. And the first quarterback in the huddle is going to be Mitchell Trubisky, simply because he's the incumbent. Nick is the new guy. We'll see how this all shakes out. Lewis is in Hyde Park. He's a P1 listener. Lewis, what's going on, kid?
What's up, kid? How are you, man?
I'm hanging in there, man. How about you? You all healthy and safe in your house?
Yes, I'm healthy. I'm good. I'm healthy, good to go. Glad you're still healthy and doing your thing.
God bless.
I just want to say right quick on the whole Mitch thing that we're dealing with. I'm not a huge fan of the acquisitions when you talk about Jimmy Graham and you talk about Nick Foles. I'm not sure how's it going to turn out, because you say Nick is coming out of Jacksonville where he couldn't catch on. Average quarterback beat him out, two clavicle injuries. How's that going to fold? Is he going to stay healthy? I doubt he'll be able to stay healthy for a year. But, hey, let's give it a chance. Give it a try. Hopefully Mitch can get back to what he was, because I'm rooting for him, and that's who I want to be the number one quarterback. But if this is how it has to go, then I guess this is something we got to deal with at Bears fan.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this competition. And as long as they truly believe that it's an open competition, and I think they do, and as long as all they care about, whatever it takes, Danny Zetterman, Chris Bleck, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, Sylvie, whoever it is, as long as they believe that guy makes us the best football team, that's all I care about.
100% agree with you, man. Have a good one.
Have a great weekend. Stay safe and healthy, kid.
All right.
See you. 312-332-3776. In exactly 2 minutes, we'll talk to the great Jeff Dickerson. He was on the teleconference. He joins us next.